your Bibles, I invite you to open them to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. We'll be looking at one verse this morning. But I'll begin reading in verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of our apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passion. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Father, I pray as we pause now and consider what Jude would have to say to us in our generation. Open our hearts and our minds to hear, to listen, and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Following the Battle of Coral Sea, the Japanese had plans to invade the Aleutian Islands in Midway. They wanted to draw the American carriers out from Pearl Harbor, knowing that they were already depleted in many ways, and thought that if they could surprise attack, they could destroy them once and for all and basically control the Pacific, the western side. That plan would have worked, except there were some United States Navy, they called crypt analysts, that were able to break the Japanese code, and they figured out eventually exactly what their plans were. Based on valid information, the proper battle strategies were developed so that they were waiting for the Japanese when they showed up with their fleet. Jude is a first century crypt analyst. He is able to crack the code of the enemy, of the devil, of the flesh. And he sees what others may not recognize until it is too late. Jude not only gives us a description of the enemy, but he also gives us their very plans. And with this valid information that we have, that Jude provides a solid battle strategy of how the church can defend itself and be prepared for the war, by the way, that is coming and is already here. Now this morning, I had planned on looking at 3 and 4 verses, but it's just too much. I want to slow it down a little bit and look at the philosophy, I believe, the battle philosophy that Jude has on how to deal with the spiritual maneuvers that we have to make in order to be able to avoid disaster in the church. Now, next week, we're going to deal with some very specific missions that Christians need to do in this war. But first, the Christian war's philosophy as laid out by Jude. First of all, we're going to be looking at verse 20. In war, it's important to get the facts. You need to get the facts. He says in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. The most holy faith. Decoding messages from the enemy is not really an easy task to do. It takes certain skills. To be able to hear the sounds and the rhythms and everything and to make sense of it all. You have to be disciplined. You have to persevere. It's not easy. The same thing could be said about spiritual warfare as well. Our enemy comes as an angel of light. The Bible tells us that. He comes in the face of a friend. In fact, even in this letter, it talks about certain people have crept in unnoticed. Ever try to find an enemy you can't see? Ever try to fight anything you can't see? Now, when I was a student at Cedarville, our dorm was, well, I think the entire campus, never mind, was pretty much on a farmer's field, and we always had mice all the time. coming in the dorm. You can hear them at night. You're laying in your bed and you hear the... And every once in a while, you know, you might open up a door or look in your closet and all the food you stashed and notice that someone's enjoying themselves. You try everything you can, but you can't see the enemy. It's hard to do anything about it. So my roommate and I decided we were going to come with this great scheme. We had a trash can, and so we had the trash can out in the middle, and we made a way for the mouse to come up into the trash can and cross. And we put this huge bait of peanut butter. They love peanut butter for some reason. And but it was kind of a wobbly center, so we thought, well, hey, why not? Thinking it would actually work. Well, it did. That mouse went up the side and went over and flipped. And he couldn't get out because it was a plastic trash can. He couldn't climb the sides of the wall, so we were able to take care of the enemy, so to speak. But he wasn't easily seen. Sometimes we don't even see the enemy that sits around us. Hopefully we would not want to have that phrase said of any church in America, but is it possible that there could be someone who has crept in unaware? We don't even see it. This King David realized the importance of getting facts and giving misinformation as well. Remember when he was fleeing from his own son Absalom, he sent back his advisors to deceive him. So Absalom listened to David's old advisor, and because of that, it allowed David to slip away and prepare for a battle that he knew was eventually coming. So our enemy, basically, according to Jude, comes into our presence and he flies in a stealth mode. You can't see him, and it's hard to understand where he's at or what's going on. But he does give us a big, broad stroke of how we can identify him, how we can unstealth him. What is it? Get the facts. What do you mean by that? I mean by that, you need to know the Bible. You need to understand the scriptures. You need to be able to have a grasp of what the Bible says. Because if you do, you're going to be able to know the lies that come up because you already know the truth. So he begins this whole thing by saying, get the facts, remember, and build yourselves up in the most holy faith. But there's also the aspect of the building yourselves up. This is the concept of working together. Not only do we need to get facts, that is, we need to know this word of God to be able to identify when someone says or lives that it's not quite according to the word of God. You could study cults all you want, and that's not necessarily a bad thing if you want to learn, but the best way to know what is false is to know what is true. Must know this word. That's why we push Sunday school. That's why we push get training in different things, so that you can be prepared to identify what's false. But it's not just that. It's working together, building yourselves up. That's his second pillar. That's his second philosophical foundation here. Everybody growing up in Christ, but we're growing together and we're working together. That was important. That was significant because the enemy likes to chop us up in pieces, get us off to the side, even in military strategy. I was reading just this past week a little bit of the Napoleonic Wars and what was going on, and a little bit about Waterloo. And they were drawing in the Battle of Waterloo. Here's Napoleon, and he understood what was in front of him. There was an army three or four times bigger than his, but he was a pretty good strategist, and he realized, and so did the English as well, who were fighting him, and the Prussians and everyone else was fighting him. Napoleon realized that if he could divide the army in half and defeat one side before the other side could recover and come up onto the field, he stood a chance of winning. And that's how the enemy does it with us as well, which is why he says building yourselves, it is a community thing that everyone is responsible to take part in. Now, when I was a boy, my mama had certain chores that all of us boys had to do. Some of those chores were chores that we do alone. I was at times in charge of trimming, or, you know, taking care of the grass that builds all over the sidewalk, and And I didn't have a weed eater. So here I am, 8-year-old boy. What does my dad give me? An axe. A hand axe, and that's what I used, okay? I just chop, 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 chop. Man, my dad was real trusting, I'll tell you what. But that's the way it was. And sometimes we did chores together. The brother closest in age to me, we were assigned to wash and dry dishes. I know that's a new concept for many people. You actually had to wash the dishes by hand, and you actually had to dry them by hand. We were the dishwashers. And so these were chores that were going on. Now, I find it comical to think that somehow I would tell my mother, I say, hey, Mom says, hey, go mow the lawn. Mom, you know what? I'm kind of busy. I have to go with my friends to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. That statement may come out of my mouth one time. You all know what I'm talking about, right? Have you ever had a brother or sister that it was time for you to do something together? They were called away somewhere? Oh, come on. I can't be the only one. My brother and I were infamous for that. My mother would say, wash, dry the dishes. And so whoever was drying, they had to go to the bathroom for half an hour. That's just the way that it was, you know. And so you're trying to get it. And so you're a little frustrated because he's not really helping at all. We wouldn't tolerate that, parents. I hope you don't tolerate that. But, you know, you think about it, that's exactly what Jude is sharing. He's sharing kind of Mama's opinion here. He says, look, you got a whole family here. Are we a family? Anyone want to say amen to that? We're a family here. Okay. And so we all have gifts and we all have chores to do. But apparently in Jude's day, maybe there's an issue that they're not building themselves up. You only have, you know, one or two of the kids doing most of the work. Jude says, no, you can't run. I'm sorry, you can't run to 7-Eleven when you're asked to do something. Everybody works together. Everybody exercises their gift. And that's how you fight. Can you imagine in the Battle of Midway if they just sent out one destroyer against the entire Japanese fleet because the other guys had to go get a Slurpee? It wouldn't work. And yet in church work, sometimes it happens that way. It is a family affair, this ministry. It's a family affair, everybody doing their part, building one another up. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4. You don't have to turn. You can. I'm going to read it for you here. He says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and from by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Did you catch the each part working properly? Stop running to the bathroom, in other words. Do your job. Exercise your gift, church. That's Jude's philosophy in facing the enemy. He wants everybody to come along and build each other up. And there's a lot of positive consequences when we do, when people help one another and encourage one another. And it doesn't work very well when there's very few. This afternoon is another day of NFL football. Maybe the Colts can pull it out today. They have a bye week, right? I'm just kidding. So there's going to be hundreds of thousands of fans around the country that are going to be cheering. Now, you may not be a football fan, say whatever, but listen to this. They're going to be cheering on their team, and did you know that there's actually research done on this, on how many thousands of pounds of hot dogs are eaten at a football game? So, and how many thousands of pounds of drink is going to be consumed? One research company determined that the average NFL fan will spend just on drinks alone $45 a game per person. So that's probably double if you're going to throw in the food. I've been to some. I haven't been to a football game here, but I've been to a Pacers game. You know, you've got sodas that could be like $6 or $7 for a soda. So you can understand how you can run that if you have a large family. Well, we as Christians, you know, we actually want to avoid being that kind of fan. We don't want to be a fan of watching everyone else doing the work. I'm all in favor of cheering, by the way. That's fun. But what we need to avoid is being like the NFL fan. Someone once said, you know it, right? Said it well. It said, basically, the NFL game is 50,000 people who are needing exercise or yelling at 22 people that need rest. Yeah. It is. Could that be what Jude might be describing? It might be a bit of a stretch, except he says it's important that we don't go there, that we must build each other up, and that's a community effort. Yes, you and I seek and dig alone. You and I must have, you know, our times with the Lord, and we must seek and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We all get that, but it is also a community project as well. And so he says, listen, if you're going to be able to fight and recognize this enemy, you're going to have to know and get the facts. What does the scripture say? Thus saith the Lord, right? And second, you must work together to do it. Because sometimes in events, you don't always see everything, but if you're walking with someone else, they can help. How many times has that happened in a sporting event where you're watching from above in the stadium and you see the play working out and you're looking at this poor quarterback? And he is about to get crushed. And he has no idea because they call it the blind side. And then out of the blue, some lineman or a running back comes and throws himself in the way to block. Think about that spiritually for you and me, the advantages of working together. Even though we're all would be sincere and want to serve the Lord and do what he, sometimes in the battle, we don't always see things. We don't see and interpret to the enemy, but together we're better and we can help one another. Two are strong, but three are an unbreakable cord. And so Jude is simply saying, you got to know the word, but you got to exercise your gift in the body of Christ. That's the best way we can fight against the cultural values that seem to be pervading in the church these days. But there's a third thing. And we're going to stop. And I know it actually ends in a comma, which means you need to come back next week and get the rest of the story. But we're just going to finish with this phrase, praying in the Holy Spirit. All right. You hear a phrase like that. What do you think of praying in the Holy Spirit? It's a strange way to say what is often charged to Christians. We're told to pray many times, but this particular way and how it's worded is only used three times in the New Testament, of course, one being here. The idea here, my friend, is not that the focus is on the words. When we pray, words are important, right? Of course they are. When we pray, being specific in our prayer is important. Of course it is. And there are people who would take this passage, and they do even today, and they would think, okay, I am now going to pray in the Spirit, meaning this, that there's some additional revelation that God has given to me that is apart from this scripture that I'm going to now proclaim to you, and you need to swallow it and believe it. That's not what it means. This particular phrase has to do, in the context of this letter, of course, with a believer who, being led by God, by the Holy Spirit, is being moved by God to pray. You've had this happen to you many times, probably even today. You ever driving down the road or taking a walk or riding your bike and the Lord brings someone to mind. Are you with me? Just want to make sure you're awake out there. Or you could be at work doing something random that has nothing to do with what, and God brings something to mind. And you have a burden all of a sudden. You say, where did that come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. God works through his people who are walking in obedience with him, and he calls on them to pray as he directs them to pray. We see or we hear news, or we watch something and we go, oh my, or we get an email or a text of something that happens, and our hearts right there are moved by the Holy Spirit. God, help, or whatever the prayer is. That's what Jude's saying. He says that we will be at a very effective, powerful force against the enemy when, as we walk in obedience, because we know the Word of God and we're living it, and we're working together, when he speaks to us, we listen. We listen. There are many people that hear, but they don't listen to God's voice. Barney Fife, you remember. He was walking along the streets, and all of a sudden the young boy on his bike got on the sidewalk. That was against probably some code 1057IE-16 or whatever. He would know. And he warned the young man about that code, and the young man said, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And he said, just be sure you don't. Lets him go, and he tears off on the sidewalk. Well, the boy eventually gets caught and argues with Sheriff Taylor about all that, and they impound the bike, and the boy's screaming and yelling. They say, well, you know, sorry you broke the law. I'm going to tell my dad on you. And he says, that'll be great. Why don't you have your dad come down and visit us? So the father comes down, right? And he starts arguing so much with Andy Taylor and the sheriff there that Andy says, well, you know what? If you don't want to do the right thing and pay the fine, I could put you in jail. That was kind of surprising, almost over the top a little bit for a bike ride on the sidewalk. But the response from the young man was what was the point, right? He heard all this. He heard that his father could go to jail. And he simply responded and said, you know what? Go ahead, throw my dad in jail. He won't care. And everybody went, what? He heard, but he didn't really listen to what he was saying, because he was completely self-centered on his own issues. You see, praying in the Spirit is not a new revelation apart from the Bible. Praying in the Spirit is the idea of when the Spirit of God urges and speaks to us in our hearts and in our minds and at moments and in times, we respond to that by praying. God brings someone to mind? Pray. God brings our nation to mind? Pray. God brings someone you don't even know. You hear about it, you read about it, and your heart is moved. Praying in the Spirit is when we respond to that urge by God to lift another up. And so Jude says that's how you defeat this enemy, because when you're walking and when you're obeying and when you're in step with the Lord, and you're doing it together, you're going to be able to hear those signals. There won't be any tower issues with cell issues with God. He can get through any part of the country and any part of the county, and your phone calls won't be dropped. He'll be able to let you know exactly what the need is, and at that moment you need to pray. That is called listening. Are you and I listening to this Holy Spirit? Are we listening to God? When the Japanese approached Midway, they were in for a big surprise. They had no idea that the naval cryptologist had broken their code. We were sitting there waiting for them. And because we were prepared, because we had the facts, we knew exactly the day, the time, and the place they set the trap. And they did not send out one plane or even one carrier. It was all hands on deck. They all worked. And they listened to the voice of their commander. Jude's telling us, church, we live in a culture that is not pro-Christian. And this culture can infiltrate itself even amongst the people of God. They listen too much to it, they believe it too much, or they just, that's part of their life so much, they're not even pouring God in them. They're among us. And we have to be careful because this gospel is very specific and true and holy. It's the most holy faith, and it's not to be altered or changed. And for us to be effective in Kokomo, we're going to have to get the facts. We're going to have to know this word. Do you know this word of God? I didn't ask if you just read it. Do you know it? We have to get that. We have to work together. Hey, church, every man on deck. There isn't, I'm going to have to, I've got to go to the bathroom for the next half hour. No. We all work together. Say, well, I did my part. Well, you're still alive. And until the day calls you, that God calls you, you're still on active duty. I know times and things change. I remember that amongst my own parents, where the things they wanted to do, they couldn't do as much, but they were active to do what they could. All of us work together. And we need to be listening to our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? What is God speaking to you right now? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Jude is speaking to believers. Is it possible that maybe someone here today is not come to the place where they've trusted Christ as their own Savior? You say, why would I need to do that? Well, the Bible tells us why. The story of the Bible is simply this, that God loved us so much that despite the fact he created us in a perfect way without sin and put us in a perfect place, we rebelled against him. And the result of that sin was death. And we see the results of that every day. Have to look very far to see it. Not just physical death, there's death of relationship between us and God, there's spiritual death. And that has eternal consequences. And in and of ourselves, we can't get out of it. We can't work our way. Being in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Being and worshiping in a Christian church, whatever the denomination might be, doesn't make you a Christian. Reading the Bible and just saying, yeah, I know Jesus existed and I think he's a great person to follow, doesn't make you a Christian. The Bible makes it clear. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. What are we saying? We are confessing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God who loved you and came to earth, died on the cross for your sins and the whole world, my sins too, and rose again. And that he, by rising again, destroyed the penalty and power of sin. He is the Lord. And by trusting in him alone, offers this gift to you freely, but you must receive it. He says to you, will you trust me, and are you listening? If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that if you were to die, you would stand before God and he would welcome you, you can know that now. Would you simply pray this prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you for raising him from the dead and defeating sin and death forever. And Lord, I recognize that my sin put him there. I confess that to you now and believe what you say, and I'm trusting in Jesus Christ alone to save me. Save me, Lord. There might be many believers in here who are hearing this message. Something in it has spoken to you. Maybe we need to be more committed in knowing this scripture so that we can identify when something is wrong. Maybe for us, someone here is not being a part of the team. And God is calling you to exercise your gift and strengthen the rest of us, for we need you desperately. Working together. And then for all of us, let's ask the Lord to help us to listen better so that we can be prepared and we can penetrate this city with this gospel. Father in heaven, as we close our time here, I'm so thankful for Jude. Lord, I'm thankful that you allowed him to write this letter. It's small, but it's powerful. And his extemporaneous writing, so to speak, he was planning on writing something else, but Lord, he listened to you. He listened to you and said, you know what, I was going to write this, but I feel the need to write this because of the circumstances. The Lord had prompted him to do that, and we're the recipients of that, and it's a blessing to us. We realize in our culture today, there's so much of it that really doesn't reflect your word in many ways. We also recognize how many in the last days seem to be falling away and following after culture, or they're recreating a Christianity that is not the Christianity of the Bible. Father, we want to stand up and contend for the faith, as Jude has told us to do that. Help us to do that and take responsibility ourselves to be a part of this team and to work together the thing which is good. So that we can not only go and take those who are captive in sin and dying and separated from you that are around us, but so that we can encourage one another in this body, in this local body as well. May we have an all-hands-on-deck philosophy. May we have seek the Lord and seek his word. And may we have a desire to listen to your spirit. I pray for my brothers now, and I pray for myself, that as you speak